This recording, Australia 32, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onuroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the Territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She had a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling Comma, Comma, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. Sarah had a different idea. First she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and lay her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Miss Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. One of the things would definitely be how, speaking of dialects, how we announce it and what we call different objects. So there's a bit of a difference, so that sometimes causes confusion. So for example, when I have what you guys would call like a sweatshirt or a hoodie, I call that a jumper. So I would say, oh yeah, I just got to get my jumper, it's really cold or something. And I'd be like, what are you talking about? Another big thing is the word biscuit. So here it refers to like a scone type thing from what I understand of it. We call biscuits like, could be like a cookie. A cookie is a biscuit. People say cookie, but it's the minority rather than majority. So that also, people are like, I'm like, oh man, that biscuit looks really good. Like, that's not a biscuit. What do you mean? And I'm like, yeah, all right, settle down. What are some other things? Oh, there's different names. This is how also entertain American people when they ask me inevitably. So what are the biggest differences between Australia and America? So a couple of the things are what you guys call peppers or bell peppers, we call capsicum in Australia. Yeah, I know, weird. What you guys call cantaloupe, we call rock melon. There's some other weird things that are like completely different. I guess that's about it. No one eats turkey in Australia. Turkey's really popular here. Like, I've had more turkey than most Australians have had in their entire lives in the last 6 months. But that's a bit of a weird difference. What else? What other things? Oh, the best thing about America is you get free refills on your soft drink, like wherever you go. That doesn't exist in Australia, except for Hungry Jack's, which, wait for it, is what we call Burger King in Australia, because the name Burger King was taken by some really small, individually owned company that refused to sell that name to Burger King when they wanted a franchise. So all through Australia, it's the only country in the world, it's called Hungry Jack's. It's the exact same. You have the Whopper, you have soft serve, whatever else, but I don't know why I was talking about Burger King. But yeah, free refills. So being a poor student and now having to live a real adult life out of home, which sucks because I have to pay for things like insurance and stuff that I didn't know existed, means most of my meals when my friends go out for dinner is me purchasing a Diet Coke and getting about 8 to 10 refills. So I tell people this and they think, that's pretty funny, you're exaggerating. And then I actually have 8 to 10 refills. And then like the waitress starts off like, get you another refill. And she progressively gets more like angry and like less smiley because she knows that I'm only going to buy this Diet Coke. And that, oh, I'm huge tipping. Tipping doesn't exist in Australia. Really? Yeah, this is totally foreign. So I hate when I have to tip only because it's just like, I've already paid for the meal and now I have to pay for this person's wage, which I understand sucks for them because maybe they only make their income off of tips. But I am always keen to point this out to every, the word keen. No one uses that word here. But I use it to mean like, I'm interested. Yeah. Like, are you interested in going to the gym? Are you keen to go to the gym now? So that's a bit of a weird thing. My roommates have slowly adapted. I say cheers as like, thank you. So someone will hand me something and I'll go, oh, cheers. that's really weird here as well. Cheers is only, which is still used in Australia, but to like, cheers alcoholic beverages in general.